Welcome back to the Remedify coaching program. We've got a fascinating deep dive lined up for you all today.
Yeah, we're going to be unpacking a ton of practical strategies for personal development.
It's all based on the book, Practical Personal Development, a real treasure trove of wisdom for those looking to, you know, level up in life.
Absolutely. And for all of you, the learners out there who want to make the most of your time, we've distilled the key takeaways into this deep dive.
We'll be sharing actionable tips to gain more control over your mindset, your goals, and really every aspect of your life.
We'll also explore how to cultivate a greater sense of inner balance,
so you can create a life that truly reflects your deepest desires.
All right, let's dive in. The book starts with something so fundamental: cultivating what it calls a healthy abundance mindset.
This really resonated with me. You know, it's about understanding that scarcity mentality, that nagging feeling of not enough.
Yeah. And it digs into the roots of that feeling. Often it stems from a deep-seated belief that we're in constant competition for limited resources.
It's like that feeling of, if someone else wins, I automatically lose.
Exactly. And the book argues that this can be incredibly limiting. It can lead to jealousy, resentment, and ultimately a sense of powerlessness.
So how do we break free from that limiting scarcity mindset?
Well, the book offers a powerful alternative: embracing an abundance mentality. This is the empowering belief that you can achieve what you envision, and just as importantly, that there's more than enough out there for everyone.
This is a game changer, isn't it? Because if you believe there's only so much to go around, you're going to approach life from a place of fear and scarcity.
You got it. But if you can genuinely embrace the idea that opportunities and resources are abundant, it shifts your entire perspective. Suddenly you're not fighting for scraps. You're open to receiving the universe's infinite bounty.
And it's not just about material abundance. It's about recognizing the abundance of love, joy, creativity, and everything else life has to offer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, the book doesn't just leave us with this high-level concept. It gives us actionable steps to make the shift.
The first one is using affirmations. And I know some people might roll their eyes at this, but there's real power in consistently feeding your mind positive statements.
Oh, I completely agree. It's about rewiring those deeply ingrained thought patterns.
So instead of constantly thinking, I don't have enough, or I'm not good enough,
you start to affirm, I am worthy of abundance. Mm-hmm. I see opportunity everywhere, or even simply, I am enough.
And the book stresses the importance of really feeling those affirmations, not just mindlessly repeating them.
Yes, feeling is key here. You need to embody the feeling of abundance, not just intellectually grasp the concept.
And that brings us to the next step, training your focus. Instead of dwelling on what's missing those poverty manifestations, you intentionally look for and appreciate signs of abundance around you.
Love that. It's about actively noticing and valuing the abundance that's already present in your life.
And it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Maybe it's the beauty of a sunset.
Or the laughter of loved ones.
Or even just a really good cup of coffee.
Exactly. It's about consciously shifting your attention towards those things that make you feel abundant, joyful, and grateful.
And the book makes a really fascinating connection between focusing on abundant symbols and actually sparking a deeper desire for more abundance in your own life.
It's like priming the pump.
Yeah.
By consistently noticing and appreciating abundance, you're essentially signaling to the universe that you're ready to receive more.
And you know what really struck me about this abundance mentality? It's not just about attracting more good things. It's also about reducing pressure and anxiety.
You said it. When you operate from a place of enough, it frees up so much mental space.
It allows you to think more clearly, make better decisions, and take those bold actions that can truly propel you forward.
Exactly. You're no longer trapped in that scarcity mindset, constantly worrying about what you don't have. Instead, you're empowered to focus on what you can create and achieve.
All right, so we've laid this foundation with the abundance mindset. The next piece the book explores is meditation.
Now, some people might think meditation is just about relaxing and clearing your mind. But this book dives way deeper than that.
Right. It presents meditation as a powerful tool for success. It's about preparing the mental soil for that abundance we've been talking about.
It's like creating the ideal inner environment for your goals and desires to flourish.
Now, I've got to admit, in the past, I've been a bit skeptical of meditation. I thought it was just for, you know, yogis and spiritual gurus.
But the book really breaks it down in a practical, accessible way.
And it highlights some really compelling benefits that anyone can experience, even if you've never meditated before.
One of the most immediate benefits is the reduction of negative thinking. and those damaging emotions that they can really weigh us down.
It's like meditation creates this internal space where those thoughts and feelings lose their grip on you.
Precisely. And there's some interesting science behind this. Apparently, when you meditate, your brainwaves slow down, shifting into lower frequencies like alpha and theta.
Now, I'm no neuroscientist, but I've definitely noticed that when I meditate, even for a few minutes, I feel calmer, more centered, and less reactive to stress.
Right. It's like creating a shield of inner peace and harmony that helps buffer against the inevitable storms of life.
And the book even mentions experiencing those wow moments during deep meditation, those sudden flashes of insight and creative inspiration.
Oh, I love those moments. It's like tapping into a deeper source of wisdom within yourself.
It's as if all the mental clutter clears away and you're left with this profound clarity and connection.
It's those moments that can lead to breakthroughs in your personal and professional life.
The book also emphasizes that meditation can help you stay more focused on your goals and remind you of the steps needed to achieve them.
It's about tuning into your inner guidance system. When you quiet the mind, you can hear that inner voice more clearly.
And the long-term benefits of consistent meditation are really impressive.
Reduced stress, less emotional reactivity to negative events, and increased focus on the positive, the list goes on.
And here's one that I found really intriguing, heightened intuition.
Ah, yes. That gut feeling, that inner knowing that often guides us towards the right path.
The book suggests that meditation helps you tune into that intuitive wisdom more readily.
And it encourages you to trust those inner nudges more fully.
Which can lead to better decision-making and a deeper sense of alignment in your life.
And as you continue to deepen your meditation practice, you might even start to notice some unexpected benefits.
Like what?
Well, the book mentions developing a more intuitive understanding of what truly nourishes your body.
Like knowing which foods are beneficial and which ones might be harming you, even if you haven't consciously studied nutrition.
It's about becoming more attuned to your body's subtle signals.
Fascinating. And ultimately, the book really drives home the point that the most crucial benefit of meditation is clear thinking.
With fewer negative thoughts and distractions clouding your judgment, you're able to assess situations more objectively and make more effective decisions.
It's like you gain this mental clarity and focus that empowers you to take the right actions toward your goals.
And I think that's a perfect segue into the next major principle the book covers, goal setting.
All right, let's talk goals. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? Because without clear goals, it's easy to just drift through life reacting to whatever comes our way.
Exactly. The book stresses the importance of being proactive, of setting those definite goals and then taking those deliberate steps to achieve them.
And it distinguishes between goals that are wants versus goals that are oughts.
Oh, that's crucial. Goals are those things we feel like we should do based on external expectations or societal pressures.
But want goals are those that genuinely light us up, that we're truly passionate about.
And guess which ones we're more likely to achieve?
The ones we actually want, of course. The book recommends keeping a journal specifically for your goal-setting journey.
I love that idea. It becomes this tangible record of your aspirations, your progress, and any obstacles you encounter along the way.
And you can use it to break those big, sometimes overwhelming goals down into smaller, more manageable action steps.
Which make the whole process feel less daunting and more achievable, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Now, here's a really interesting tip from the book. Get into an inspired, positive, and relaxed state before you even start brainstorming your goals.
Makes sense. You want to be in the right frame of mind to tap into your deepest desires and come up with goals that truly resonate with you.
Maybe meditate for a bit, listen to some uplifting music, or spend time in nature, whatever helps you feel grounded and creative.
And once you're in that state, let the brainstorming begin. Write down every single goal that pops into your head, no matter how big or small, without judging or censoring yourself.
It's like a mental download of all your aspirations.
And then comes the fun part, categorizing those goals by time frame.
Immediate goals, 30-day goals, 6-month goals, 1-year goals, and those big long-term aspirations.
This helps create a roadmap, a clear path forward.
And it ensures that you're setting realistic time frames so you don't get discouraged along the way.
Now, here's a technique I really love. Writing your goals as if they've already been accomplished. For example, I now own my dream home, or I am now financially free.
I've heard this called future pacing. It's powerful because it helps you visualize and feel the reality of your goals.
And speaking of feeling, the book emphasizes adding emotional language to your goals.
So instead of just, I have a successful business, you might write, I am thrilled and deeply fulfilled by my thriving business.
Injecting that emotional energy into your goals amplifies their power and makes them more compelling to your subconscious mind.
And the book really stresses the importance of being super specific with your goals. Vague goals tend to produce vague results, right?
Absolutely. The clearer and more detailed your goals are, the better your subconscious mind can guide you towards them.
It's like giving your internal GPS precise coordinates.
And don't forget to frame your goals in positive terms.
Focusing on what you want to create rather than what you want to avoid.
It's about moving towards something desirable, not running away from something you fear.
Now, here's a reminder that's so important. Make absolutely sure your goals align with your values and aspirations, not those of others.
Right. Don't let societal pressures or the expectations of others dictate your life path. This is your journey, and your goals should reflect what truly matters to you.
The next practical step is to prioritize your goals, perhaps using a simple ranking system to determine which ones are the most important to focus on right now.
Prioritization is key because it helps you allocate your time and energy effectively.
And finally, break down each of those prioritized goals into those smaller, manageable action steps. Remember the example of the boat and the $1 million?
Right. It's about breaking down the big vision into those achievable milestones that build upon one another.
This makes the journey feel less overwhelming and gives you that sense of progress along the way.
So you're consistently motivated and inspired to keep moving forward.
All right. We've covered mindset, meditation, and goal setting, a powerful trifecta for personal growth. But there's more. The book then delves into the principle of center yourself.
This is about cultivating laser-like focus and eliminating those distractions that can so easily derail us.
Especially in today's world, with all the constant demands on our attention, it can be a real challenge to stay centered.
But the book offers some practical strategies to help us regain control.
One is simply exerting conscious effort to redirect our thoughts back to our primary objective. It's like gently guiding our minds back to the task at hand.
Like a shepherd guiding their flock.
Exactly. Now, I've found that having a really strong purpose behind my goals makes staying focused so much easier.
Oh, absolutely. The book talks about the importance of identifying that compelling why that drives you forward.
When you're truly connected to your purpose, it provides this unwavering motivation that helps you push through challenges.
And it makes those inevitable moments of distraction less tempting.
The book also suggests breaking those large, sometimes intimidating goals down into smaller, more manageable steps.
It's like that old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Love that. And here's a technique that's really helped me stay focused. Using a focus mantra. It's basically a short, powerful phrase that you repeat to yourself to reinforce your goal and keep your mind on track.
Almost like a mental anchor.
Exactly. It could be something like, I am focused and determined, or I am achieving my goals with ease and grace.
Whatever resonates with you and keeps you aligned with your vision.
And the book emphasizes the importance of having a genuine passion, that magical gleam for your purpose. It's that intrinsic drive that fuels sustained effort.
Without that passion, it's easy to lose steam and give up when things get tough.
Now, here's a counterintuitive idea from the book. Don't be afraid to dream big. The bigger your vision, the more motivating it can be.
It's like having this grand, exciting destination that keeps you inspired and engaged on the journey.
And don't underestimate the power of taking regular breaks.
Those moments of rest and rejuvenation are essential for maintaining focus and productivity.
The book suggested a brief 5-minute break for every half hour of focused work.
Just enough time to step away, clear your head, and come back refreshed and ready to tackle the next challenge.
And finally, the book reiterates the importance of having those clear short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals with realistic timeframes.
It's about creating a structured roadmap for success so you don't get bogged down in procrastination or complacency.
And speaking of procrastination, the book has some wise words on that too.
Oh, yes. Procrastination, the thief of time and productivity.
The book encourages us to actively combat it by tackling those important tasks immediately rather than putting them off.
It's about building that momentum, that get it done mindset.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground on staying centered. Now let's address the elephant in the room, or perhaps I should say the fear in the room.
Fear is a universal human experience, and it can be a major obstacle to achieving our goals.
The book is pretty blunt about this. It states that individuals operating from a place of fear can never be truly successful.
And that fear acts as this constant impediment to progress, keeping us stuck in our comfort zones.
So how do we deal with fear? Well, the book advocates for a very direct approach. Confront it head on.
Don't try to ignore it, suppress it, or run away from it.
Face it squarely, with the understanding that you have more control over your mental state than you might realize.
This is a really empowering concept. You're not at the mercy of your fears. You have the power to choose how you respond to them.
And the book introduces this fascinating principle. Your external reality is often a reflection of your internal feelings and beliefs.
So if you can shift your internal state, you can start to change your experiences in the outer world.
That's profound, isn't it? It's like taking responsibility for creating your own reality.
Exactly. Now, let's get practical. The book gives us some specific strategies for making fear feel trivial.
One is to consciously reduce the perceived size and threat of the fear itself.
Or conversely, you can amplify the magnitude and desirability of your dreams and goals. It's about shifting your focus.
Imagine a fear as this big, menacing monster. You can either shrink that monster down to the size of an ant, or you can focus on something so much bigger and brighter, your vision for the future.
And here's another powerful strategy. Maintaining that single-minded focus on your goals, even when fear inevitably rears its ugly head.
It's about staying laser-focused on where you want to go, rather than getting sidetracked by the what-ifs and the worst-case scenarios.
It's like having blinders on, so you can't see the distractions on either side of the path.
The book also talks about actively managing your thoughts, choosing to amplify the thoughts that empower you, and minimize the ones that hold you back.
It's about becoming the curator of your mental landscape.
And this one's crucial. Recognizing that you have the inherent ability to alter your feelings and perceptions.
You're not just a passive recipient of your emotions. You have the power to choose how you feel and how you interpret the world around you.
And the book emphasizes the power of acceptance. It's about acknowledging the presence of fear without letting it dictate your actions.
It's like saying, okay, fear, I see you there, but I'm not going to let you control me.
I love the analogy the book uses to illustrate this, navigating physical obstacles like detours and road construction.
You don't just give up and go home, right? You find an alternative route to reach your destination.
And that's how we should approach fear. Don't let it derail. You find a way to navigate around it.
And the book stresses the importance of taking action. Even when you're afraid, that's where the real growth happens.
Because inaction fueled by fear only makes the fear grow stronger.
And as the book points out, successful individuals are those who are willing to act despite their fears.
Now, the book does make an important point. This approach of confronting fear head-on works best for goals that you're truly passionate about.
If you're not fully invested in the goal, the effort required to overcome the fear might not feel worthwhile.
So make sure your goals are aligned with your deepest desires and values.
And then, when fear arises, ask yourself, am I moving in the right direction? If the answer is yes, acknowledge the fear and keep moving forward.
It's a simple but powerful practice.
And here's the good news. The more you confront your fears, the weaker they become. The initial steps are always the hardest.
The book really emphasizes that we have a choice. We can either succumb to fear and live a life filled with regret.
Or we can confront our fears and experience the joy of personal growth and fulfillment.
It's a choice between playing it safe and staying stuck, or embracing the unknown and expanding your horizons.
And ultimately, it's about understanding that you are not your thoughts or your emotions. You are the observer, the conscious awareness that experiences these things.
And when you can step back and observe your fears from that place of awareness, they lose their power over you.
You're no longer trapped by them. You're free to choose a different path.
Okay, let's shift gears now to something a bit lighter and more uplifting, the power of gratitude.
Gratitude is like a superpower. It's the key to unlocking abundance, joy, and deep fulfillment.
The book describes it as a catalyst for attracting more of what you appreciate in life.
Exactly. And it's not just some woo-woo concept. There's a real principle at work here.
The principle of cause and effect.
Gratitude is the cause, and receiving more of what you're grateful for is the effect.
It's about aligning your energy with what you want to attract more of.
And it's about recognizing and appreciating the good that's already present in your life.
The book stresses the importance of expressing gratitude for everything big and small, tangible and intangible.
From the roof over your head to the air you breathe. From your loved ones to the simple pleasures that bring you joy.
It's about cultivating this constant awareness of blessings.
And it's not about being Pollyanna or ignoring the challenges in life.
It's about choosing to focus on the good, even amidst the difficult.
Because when you focus on the good, you invite more of it into your experience.
And conversely, the book highlights the dangers of lacking gratitude.
It can lead to arrogance, isolation, and a sense of entitlement.
It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking we've achieved everything on our own.
But the reality is, we're all interconnected. and we all receive help and support along the way.
So take the time to be thankful for those who've contributed to your journey, both directly and indirectly.
And be grateful for those unseen forces that often guide and protect us.
Now, here's a really interesting idea. Expressing gratitude for desired outcomes before they manifest.
It's like sending a powerful message to the universe that you're ready to receive.
And the book provides specific examples of how to incorporate gratitude into your affirmations.
For instance, thank you for the abundance that is now flowing into my life, or I'm so grateful for my perfect partner who's on their way to me.
But remember, for gratitude to be truly effective, it needs to be genuine. It's about feeling that deep sense of appreciation in your heart.
It's not just about going through the motions.
And the book cautions that a lack of genuine gratitude can actually lead to stagnation or even the loss of what you already have.
It's like blocking the flow of abundance by failing to appreciate what you've already been given.
So make it a daily practice to cultivate that grateful heart. A simple exercise the book recommends is creating a list of 10 things you're grateful for and reciting it each morning.
I love that. It sets the tone for the day and puts you in a positive, receptive state.
All right, we're nearing the end of our deep dive today, but there's one more powerful principle to explore: visualization.
Visualization is about using the power of your imagination to create your desired reality.
It's about vividly seeing, feeling, and experiencing your goals as if they've already been achieved.
And the book asserts that this mental imagery, when practiced consistently and with intention, can actually influence the physical world.
It's like planting those seeds of desire in the fertile ground of your mind.
And then nurturing them with your focused attention and belief.
But here's the catch. Visualization alone isn't enough. You also need to take inspired action on the clues and opportunities that present themselves.
It's about being open to those synchronicities, those nudges from the universe, and then acting on them.
And there's one more crucial element.
Yeah.
Your underlying mental state.
Visualization is most effective when it's coupled with a positive or at least neutral mindset.
If you're constantly battling negativity and doubt, it creates a barrier that prevents your visions from fully manifesting.
It's like trying to grow a garden in barren soil. You need to cultivate that fertile ground of positive beliefs and expectations.
So let's talk about the practical steps for effective visualization. The book suggests starting by creating a comprehensive list of everything you've ever wanted in life.
No limitations, no holding back. Just let those desires flow freely.
Then review that list and prioritize those goals that are most important to you right now.
This helps focus your visualization efforts.
And then create a vision board, a visual representation of your goals using images, words, or anything else that inspires you.
I found vision boards to be incredibly powerful for keeping my goals front and center.
And finally, spend time regularly looking at your vision board and vividly imagining yourself already experiencing those desired outcomes.
Engage all your senses. See it, feel it, hear it, taste it, smell it.
Make it as real and tangible as possible in your mind's eye.
And most importantly, feel the emotions associated with achieving those goals. The joy, the excitement, the gratitude.
Because when you combine clear vision with strong emotion, you create a powerful magnetic force that draws those desires into your reality.
Wow, we've covered so much ground today. It's clear that personal development is a multifaceted journey.
And the book does a brilliant job of presenting these core principles in a clear, practical, and inspiring way.
And it all boils down to this. Taking responsibility for creating the life you want.
It's about cultivating that inner strength, that self-mastery that allows you to overcome challenges and achieve your dreams.
And it's about understanding that you have more power and potential than you might realize.
If you're ready to take your personal growth to the next level, I highly recommend checking out the book, Practical Personal Development.
It's packed with even more insights and strategies than we could cover in this deep dive.
And for additional resources and support on your journey, be sure to visit https.www.pnmoneymaking.com, https.www.khealthconsulting.com, and https.kk2020.store.
You'll find a wealth of information there to help you on your path.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into practical personal development.
Remember, you have the power to create a truly extraordinary life.
Thank you for listening to the Remedify Coaching Program.